Check this shit out. Another satellite being launched from Antarctica. Check this out. You're gonna love this one. That's Antarctica, people. Remember how we saw that circular launch pad? The bulldozer is smoothing out the ice and snow. Look at this. Just wait and see. Watch this. This is McMurdo Station in the background. McMurdo is right back here. They have line of sight to this airstrip. Just look at this. This is your $1 trillion fucking satellite program. A goddamn fucking balloon. A balloon, people. It goes fucking $20-30 million on a balloon. It's not inside a fucking rocket nose cone. There you go. Woohoo! Woohoo! Yay! Hey. Now you want to know what NASA is spending all that fucking money for? On helium? NASA has spent a shitload of money on helium. So you got to ask yourself, what the fuck is all that helium for, right? You think, okay, maybe it's for the vacuum chamber. They're doing all kinds of testing. No, bullshit. That fucking helium is so is for their fucking balloon program. What else would you use fucking helium for? What would you use helium for? You use fucking helium to fucking float.
At 18,000 feet right now.
Come on, people. This common sense. This common fucking logic.
Hey, the payload is now at 105,000 feet.
Look at that. 105,000 feet.
Quite well, even with the naked eye. It's nice and well inflated now.
So based on the size of that balloon.
Now we're at about 120,000 feet.
Look at that. So these things got to get to at least 150, maybe 100, maybe they can get to about 180,000 feet. But at nighttime, see this fucking thing. You're not going to see it. You're not going to see the satellite, period. You're just not going to fucking see it. So let's do this. Let's go to Lockheed Martin's website. I want to show you the capability of the U-2. So that you guys can wrap your heads around this shit. You can wrap your heads around this, and then you can start putting together some crazy-ass fucking videos based on what it is I'm showing you. Let's go here. Aircraft. So let's go to aircraft. Lockheed Martin's been doing this shit for a long time in NASA, man. Long, 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 long time. Long time, people. Very fucking long time. Close all these fucking files, man. Come on, man. Okay. So we're going to go to aircraft. So let's go to the U2 Dragon Lady. Now, I know I said some things before that there's a possibility they were projecting holographic images to make you think that you were seeing the ISS up there. Like I said, my thinking, my analysis is dynamic. As I start finding more and more information, I change that shit. But I found out today that this new piece of technology put on the back of the U2, that's for fucking satellite transmission and communications. This is your fucking satellite dish. These things are flying up in the air, acting as satellites. Okay? Acting as satellites, people. And let me see if I can go to the product card. U2 product card. Let's see. Let's go to that. Let's go to U2 product card. Okay, so here's your U2. I can tell you here right now, this is a new upgrade in addition. They've upgraded the satellite system. So instead of, they're still using balloons, okay? They're still using balloons. But as far as military advanced communications, topography, mapping, this platform, 33 of these are stationed around the world. 33 of them. Half of them are flown unmanned, means they can be remotely controlled on the ground like they control fucking Reaper and Predator and Global Hawk drones. Half of these can be flown without pilots inside of them. They can fly 24 hours. They can be refueled in the air at high altitude to do nonstop fucking flight ops. They've got everything on board that you would need to do the same communications on the ground. 15 of these can be flown without pilots, unmanned. When I spoke to my professor, who used to be a Defense Intelligence Agency officer, he was in charge of the U2 ISR program, Intelligence Surveillance Reconnaissance Program. I asked him how many of these would be needed to cover the entire Earth in a 24-hour period. He told me you only need 10. You could map, you could cover the entire Earth in your satellite photos that you guys see, satellite imagery, high altitude imagery that they claim is coming from the ISS, is coming from the fucking U2. The U2 is taking the high definition photographs and they're being presented as ISS footage. Don Pettit told you in the Tyranny of the Rocket Equation, ain't no fucking way humans ever left the fucking Earth. They ain't never left the fucking Earth in the space. This is it right here. Period. Period. So let's look at this document. I want to blow this up for you guys here. So let's do this. It says here, and I want to go specific to the technical capabilities. Okay, let's do this. It says here, look at the maximum cruise speed. Actually, no, the cruise speed is 475 miles an hour. Now, that's completely contradictory to what we have learned and been told with regard to high altitude aeronautics, that the higher you go, the faster you got to go to maintain aeronautic stability and control. But it seems here that the cruising speed for the U2S is 475 miles an hour. That is nearly 100 miles an hour slower than a fucking commercial jet flying at 428,000 miles an hour. But again, there's less altitude there's less atmosphere at altitude. But this is where people get confused when you see all the videos. It says the ceiling is above 70,000 feet. Above 70,000 feet, people. The max altitude of U2 is not 70,000. The ceiling is above 70,000. The range is greater than 6,000 fucking miles. Which means if the cruising speed of U2 is at 475 miles an hour and it can go above 70,000 feet, that means that there's no fucking way. That means that there's definitely atmosphere. There's definitely a shitload of atmosphere that is breathable. You can operate in it above 70,000 feet. They know this because they were launching fucking balloons to 85,000 feet. And you use less fuel at 475 miles an hour above 70,000 feet. You don't see this fucking thing in the sky. You don't hear it. You don't see the vapor trails from the U2. This is the cruise speed. Maximum weight, 40,000 pounds. So would you think maybe possibly they could put some sort of advanced optical scope on this bad boy? Because the Hubble was 27,000 pounds. Maximum weight of this is 40,000 pounds. So how much advanced imaging and communications equipment you think you can put on this platform? A shitload of it. A shitload of it. It's twice the mass of Hubble. Flying at above 70,000 feet. Here it is right here. And look at the price. Here's what's interesting to me, the coincidence, people. The Hubble, they claim, cost $1.5 billion. The Hubble. $1.5 billion. Look what it says here. The recent $1.58 billion in system upgrades includes sensor upgrades, improved radar, multi-spectrum imaging and signals collection, sensors and data links, a new F-118 GE-101 engine, improves range and altitude, lowers operating costs and reduces weight by 12%. Glass cockpit, new defensive suite, improves survivability against the latest generation of missile and fighter threats. $1.58 billion. The Hubble, $1.58 billion. Sophia, $1.5 billion. What the fuck? That's like the magic fucking number, man. That's the magic number for a lot of this bullshit. $1.5 billion is the number these government agencies are using. It's probably costing half of this and the other half of going in the fucking pockets of your fucking Senate and congressional fucking representatives and their fucking contracting companies who are building this bullshit and telling you, oh no, it's all going up on a fucking rocket. It says here, reconnaissance and surveillance from the stratosphere. The stratosphere. Everything we know of, communications, imagery, you name it. Everything stays within the stratosphere, which means we can't get fucking beyond the goddamn fucking thermosphere. We can't get there. We can't get there. This is our limitation. We can't go beyond this technological capability because we just can't get out there. We can't get there, people. When they say the U2 flies at the edge of space, I'm sorry to tell you, 70,000, 85,000 feet is not the edge of fucking space. The edge means you're maybe within 5,000 to 10,000 fucking feet of the Kármán line, which is 328,000 motherfucking feet. How the hell could you be up in the U2, be on the edge of space? The edge of what space? You mean the next space, which is from the stratosphere, is the mesosphere, and then the thermosphere? Because maybe they're on the edge of the mesosphere. Or the thermos, they ain't close to the thermosphere because it's too goddamn hot up there. It's in excess of 500 degrees Fahrenheit. You honestly think that this aircraft would be able to fucking withstand those heat temperatures? Look at the SR-71. They tried to take it up there, and look what happened to it. Fucking, you had fuel lines fucking melting because of the heat, the high heat, and the speed. I do believe you have to fly faster the higher you go, but we can't do it. It's that simple. It's that simple. To me, it's that simple. It really is, people. To me, it's that fucking simple. That's the presentation, people. That's the fucking presentation. So I'm open to questions. Did everybody see that? What, did something happen? Did I lose people? I don't know what to say. I'm open to any questions from anybody. I'm just open. Ask me anything on chat. And if you appreciated the presentation, can everybody hear me? Can you just give me a thumbs up that everybody saw that? Because I wasn't watching the watch channel, the watch page. I don't know what you saw, what you didn't saw. What you did, everybody see all that? Balloon technology is far more advanced. Did everyone see the share screen? Just give me a thumbs up, people, so I know that everyone saw that. Because I had nobody helping me out to tell me if I was, you could still hear me or whatever it may be. Okay. No glitches for me. Thumbs up. Okay. You guys appreciate that. You have any other questions? Because I'm going to tell you here right now, I think I've come probably to the pinnacle of all of my presentations. I think I've put it all together in one presentation for you guys. You have my, you can look at all my videos. Some of you may like them, some of you may not like them, but you know what type of guy I am, what type of researcher I am. That's my motto. It's not what you know, it's what you can prove. Okay? That's what it comes down to. That's definitely what it comes down to, people. Okay? You know what I'm about. You know what I'm about. And I think, and to add to that, I want to say this. I want to say this to everybody. We all know that commercial airliners have a ceiling of 50,000 feet. 50,000 feet. Commercial planes, if you're flying a single-engine turboprop, a dual-engine turboprop, a single-engine jet, double-engine jet, multi-engine jet, if you're a commercial pilot, you've got a ceiling of 50,000 feet. The optimal operating altitude is somewhere between 35,000 to 45,000 feet. But I came to this conclusion. I've heard stories that there's a 50 to 60,000 foot ceiling over Antarctica. Okay, over Antarctica specifically Antarctica. Okay, and it dawned on me why there was that altitude. And I just figured it out putting this presentation together today. The reason why they can't have planes flying above 50 to 60,000 feet over Antarctica is simple. The fucking balloons are coming down there. The balloons are literally being recovered down in Antarctica. And they have to, the planes can't capture these balloons and these satellites until they get to about 20 or 15,000 feet. So if you got a fucking plane flying above these top secret operations of satellite recovery, then that means that every passenger on that fucking plane is watching this plane snatch a fucking satellite out of the sky and take it back down to Antarctica. And then they, all the people on the plane are like, what the fuck did I just see? Because there is a company who actually, you can pay $6,000 to $7,000 to fly over Antarctica on a Qantas airline flight. And get this, they don't fly above 45,000 feet over Antarctica. They are told they have to fly at 10,000 feet over Antarctica. 10,000 feet. Now that makes perfect sense. Because they don't want those fucking passengers seeing what the fuck is going on above 10,000 feet. I know now why commercial airlines cannot or forbidden to fly above 50,000 feet, and you just saw it for yourselves. They don't want commercial customers, commercial passengers looking out the side of their fucking window, watching a C-130 fly around recovering fucking satellites out of the sky in the stratosphere. They don't want people to see that, because the lie that they want you to believe is that everything's going up on a fucking rocket. Everything. Everything. Everything's going up. The Chandra telescope is a fucking on a balloon. And Justin, if you want to help me, let's fucking find it. I guarantee you, if it's up there right now, it's going to come back down soon, which means that it came down, it was captured, and they're going to service it and send it fucking right back up. See, here's the thing, people. I've been in the military, and there's redundancy in the military. Redundancy. When you set up an operation, when you build a piece of equipment, you don't just build one. You build two. Because if one of them fucking malfunctions, you need the backup. Or you need them, if it malfunctions, you need the backup to literally troubleshoot why it fucking malfunctioned using the backup. And then if that one goes down, you need a third one. You need a fourth one. You need a fifth one. So you want to know why these programs cost billions of dollars? Because they actually manufactured maybe a half dozen of them that get launched from several different locations around the world. So when you're looking at what you think is the real-time view of ISS moving around the fucking planet right now, you're looking at several different versions of the ISS floating around. Period. Period. That's what you're looking at. They've got multiple assets up in the sky floating around on fucking balloons. Now, I want to go back to an issue. And this is the issue I want to go back to. The ISS, I'm going to pull that up. No, here's the thing. You guys can do it. I want you to go to the European Space Agency site, or just type in track the ISS. And there are several sites that are tracking the ISS. Okay? Several sites tracking the ISS. Let me see if I can pull it up here for you guys. I'm going to do another share screen so that you guys can see this, because I actually have it on one platform that you guys can actually see. And it's important to see this, because it gives you a complete view of what the fuck is really going on up in the sky. All right. And let me see this right here. Let me see this. I'm going to do another share screen with you guys so you can see this, because it's very important for you to see it. I pulled it up yesterday, and it was a very, very, very good tool that I captured. And I'm going to pull this up for you guys so you can see this. Now, let me see. Let me know when you guys can see this. I'm going to turn off the visor. So here we go. These are, and I can't make this fucking thing bigger either. There we go. There we go. Okay. So if you're looking at this, here's the deal. If you can see this, this is the ISS. Okay? Here's Hubble. Here's Hubble. Now I want you guys to notice something. Can everybody see this? Can everybody see this? Could you see that map page I was showing? Thumbs up. I just need a couple of thumbs up. That's all. Couple of thumbs up. That's it. All right. Let me show this to you guys. If you look at this, here's what they claim to be the Hubble. Okay? The Hubble. They claim the Hubble is at 541 fucking miles. All right? That's what they said. 500, and it's traveling at 27,323 fucking miles an hour. That's what they say. All right? That's what they say. And it's at 541 miles. The ISS, they're claiming the ISS is at 402 miles. Okay? 402 miles. No. My mistake, people. Let me digress. Let me retract from that. My mistake. If I'm right on this and I need somebody to help correct me. They say the distance is 1,036 kilometers. But see, I don't believe that. I'm going to tell you why I don't believe that. And this is the reason why. I think this is 541,000 feet. This is what I think. I think this is 5,405. I think this is 541,000 feet. Okay, feet. Feet. That's the Hubble. 541,000 feet. I think the ISS is at 402,000 feet. And the reason why I say I think the ISS is at 402,000 feet is because every shuttle launch I've ever seen, the telemetry data, the shuttle detaches from the main fuel tank at around 345,000, 350,000 feet. And now this data makes sense to me. It's not 508 fucking kilometers. That's the comparison. I think it's at 402,000 feet above the surface of the Earth. That's where ISS really is. And Hubble is about 100 miles away from it. But if you notice, right, these fuckers, if this were timed correctly, the ISS should come within range of Hubble. You guys want this website address? It's satview.org. Satview.org. Okay? Satview.org, tracking satellites. Use this platform based on the data that I provided. Satview.org. Look where the ISS is. Now, I want you guys to notice something, people. You notice how the elliptical orbits, they come back down to Antarctica. You notice this? You notice how they all slope back down to Antarctica? Some of them, nothing goes up here. Nothing goes where Chris talked about, called the dew line, the distant early warning line, up in this area here. Nothing. Nothing's going up here. Here's Antarctica, all down here. Everything is taking that loop. Everything is getting within range of a C-130 to fly off the coast of Antarctica, capture it when it's down here. See, this is a National Oceanic Atmospheric Observatory satellite, NOAA, N-O-A-A, 1. It goes one right here. So every time a satellite gets within range of Antarctica, they'll send something out to check to see how it's doing, what its health is like. Now, this is fucking strange. Why is their satellite named ISIS and one named ISS? Isn't ISIS a fucking terrorist group? ISIS is a terrorist group. They got a satellite named after it. And then you got the ISS. Here's the ISS. There you go, people. Here's the ISS. Here's ISIS. ISIS. ISS. ISIS. ISS. You got two NOAA satellites. One up top, one down below, near Australia, New Zealand. You got those aircraft flying off the coast. Boom, let's go get this bad boy. Let's go get this bad boy. Let's go get Tiangong. This is a Chinese satellite. They ain't going to go snatch this bad boy. I think they're snatching fucking people's shit out. And you see, the U.S. actually complained about Russia developing a space defense capability. Space defense capability? I'm going to tell you what they're complaining about. The U.S. is complaining about what the U.S. is complaining about what Russia's doing because the U.S. did it back in the fucking 50s. They did the same fucking thing back in the 50s. They were snatching Russian shit out of the sky, so the Russians are now snatching U.S. shit out of the sky. That's just how it works. They're snatching their shit out of the air with fucking planes. When you hear about Russian B-2 bombers flying over the Arctic and coming within, you know, distance of the U.S. coastline, you best believe the Russians are out snatching shit out of the fucking North American skies using the B-52, using the Russian bombers, because the Russian bombers are capable of snatching large, massive payloads out of the sky. They're capable of doing it. You saw it for yourself, people. You saw it for yourself. It's that simple. It's that simple. It's that simple, people. It doesn't get any fucking complicated than that. The whole entire satellite program is not on a fucking rocket. It's not on a rocket. Period. Period. And like my saying goes, you guys know my saying.
What can you prove, huh? Nothing. Where's your evidence, huh?
That's my saying. What can you prove? What can you prove? I don't know what to tell you, people. Don't know what to tell you. It's amazing. I don't know how anybody out there can be talking about anything else other than the evidence I showed you, what exists in Antarctica, the satellite program, the ISS. You know now how the ISS could exist. You know now how the ISS can exist. It's that simple. The ISS is not there, is not up in the sky as an entire Legoland constructed 100 yard long, 50 yard wide fucking contraption. It is up there. You saw it for yourself. It is up there in its individual modules. Think about this, people. I think that when Scott Kelly and Mishka, that Russian astronaut who were up there for a year, I think that Scott Kelly and that astronaut Mishka were in a separate module by themselves, floating on a balloon for 1 year. I think that they were resupplied with additional helium and replacement balloons so that they could stay up there. I think that when Scott Kelly and Mishka came in contact with other astronauts from resupply missions, I think that somehow those modules came together and docked safely. They connected, and then you see them together. But whenever they shoot video, whenever NASA shoots video, you never see the whole fucking crew at one fucking time. You never see them all at one time. There are times where you have seen them all at one time, but I think that there's modules put together. They have this thing they call parking orbit. I think that there's a larger vehicle up there floating around where they all can co-mingle, and then they jump out into their separate modules and float around the fucking Earth on balloons. You never see them all together. There's no fucking way something of that mass and size can fly at 17,000 miles an hour for 15 fucking years and drop and rise in altitude somewhere between 2 to 3 fucking miles in a fucking day. Because once it dropped in altitude, you got to put a lot of fucking effort in making sure that thing gets back up to where it does. And you saw the document I showed you where they can get a balloon. They got a balloon in 1950 to 85,000 feet. And then at nighttime, when the air cools down, the balloon drops 20,000 feet. So you tell me how something the size of a fucking football field could drop 20,000 fucking feet during the nighttime and then somehow float the fucking back up where it was when it started. That's based on the laws of physics. That's fucking impossible. It's fucking impossible. All of you who are watching right now, all of you who are listening, you have my unfeathered permission to share this video, share this hangout. You can edit it, whatever the fuck you want to do with it. But please show some professional reciprocity. Show some professional reciprocity and give me the fucking credit. Because there ain't nobody out there doing the shit that I'm doing. There are some people out there really doing the shit, but you guys see how I'm putting it together. It ain't fucking fancy. It ain't high speed. It ain't elaborate. It ain't government funded. I ain't financing shit. I'm doing the shit in my spare time, but I love what I do. The truth is so precious that she must be guarded by a bodyguard of lies. And my goal and my ambition is to assassinate those fucking bodyguards, to kidnap the truth. Because like Winston Churchill said, the truth is so precious, she must be attended by a bodyguard of lies. And I'm slowly taking these motherfuckers out like ninjas. I'm taking out these fucking lies like ninjas. And eventually, I'm going to get a hold of the truth, and she's going to say, where have you been? Why did it take you so long to rescue me? You're all welcome to share this content. Please do email me. I put a lot of links in the description section. If you need access to documents, do the search, man. Find the documents. They're there. They're out there. They're out there. They are out there. Put together your own content, but please do show some professional reciprocity. Give me the credit. I'm not looking to be famous. And to be honest with you people, I don't give a fuck how many subscribers I got, how many viewers I got. Because one of you will be motivated enough to say, hey, everybody pay attention. This shit this guy put out is incredible. My channel's not monetized, people. I don't care about getting paid for this shit. It's peanuts. This shit ain't even enough money to buy my son diapers. I do it from straight passion. Straight passion. And I do my homework. And it's my motto. It's not what you know, it's what you can prove. Anybody come at you telling you, it's all bullshit, you don't know what you're talking about, then fuck, okay, then don't do the talking. Let the documentation do the fucking talking for you. Let the documents talk, because these people who are trolling and saying, hey, you don't know what you're talking about, you misinterpreting the documentation, then fine. Share the documentation with them and let them fucking read it, and then have a conversation with them saying, okay, you read the documentation, what do you think? And see what they say. See how they try to distort the documentation that they believe in, because they believe in the government agency who put it out. This shit ain't real, people. None of this shit, all the shit you see on TV that's being put out for decades, this shit is all fucking smoke and mirrors. I just showed you. I want to wish you guys all the best. I really appreciate the people who've been viewing and listening and commenting. Again, please feel free to email me at rmbassano, B-A-S-S-A-N-O, @gmail.com. Or send me something privately. You want to discuss anything with me, feel free. I'm open. I don't know everything, but I know more than most. I can talk about everything. And if I don't know the answer, give me 24 hours. I'll have the answer for you. I'll have the answer for you. I'm about lifelong fucking knowledge, understanding, comprehension, and truth. And if I don't know something and I need to know it, I'm going to learn it. Very real fucking fast. Real fast. None of my fucking data can be fucked with, because it comes from the source that generated. I go to the genesis of the information. So please, feel free, people. Have a free-for-all. edit your asses off with any video you want to download from my channel. For those who have access to my secure cloud, feel free. There's documents in there I haven't even fucking used in my presentations. So be my guest and download that shit. Use it at your own free will, okay, your own leisure. But again, give credit to where credit's due. I'm not looking to lead this shit. I'm not looking to be in the spotlight, the limelight, you know, have people, you know, say, hey, this guy should be this. I just don't. I don't care about the subscribers. I don't care about any of that shit. You know, you guys know yourselves. When you look at see how many people have subscribed to me, believe me when I tell you, 10 times that amount of people videos. A lot of them don't want to subscribe just because they don't feel like it. And I don't have a problem with that. So I don't want you to get discouraged by the numbers you see on my channel thinking they don't like this guy for some whatever reason, so maybe I should stay away from him. No, believe me. You see me post some new shit, you know it's some good shit. And I welcome you. You are open to come into my house. When I say my house, I'm talking about my channel. You can come into my house, knock on the door and says, hey, Robert, can I use this? Yeah, sure. Hey, go be my guest. Because I had somebody use my shit regarding the construct of the earth. The video was titled the equipotential ellipse. The earth is an equipotential ellipsoid. And the guy promoted the fucking information, presenting it like I was saying the fucking entire earth is flat. And I had to copyright strike that motherfucker. I don't fucking believe the entire fucking earth is flat. It's an egg-shaped ellipsoid undergoing flattening with a flat plane surface in the middle with level waters. That's my belief. I'm not no fucking flat earther. Because a flat earther can't even define what the fuck they mean when they say flat earth. They better say the ground they fucking walking on. Because the rest of the system above them ain't fucking flat. It's some sort of weird ass fucking concoction that we still trying to figure out what it is. But they have an idea that it's some sort of ellipsoid that is undergoing flattening, meaning the pressure is increasing. And there's more, the land is expanding. There's more land out there. There has to be. There's definitely fucking more land out there. And I want to know where the fuck it is. Because I think when people die, when you leave the physical body that you're in right now, I don't think there's a fucking heaven. I think these people's spirits are being transferred into some other dimension outside of the realm we call our environment, into maybe one of these landmasses, which may be other fucking countries and different civilizations of peoples. I really believe that now. There's a lot more land out there. And it's being kept out of reach. It's being kept out of knowledge from us. Our entire fucking map we know of is wrong. Wrong. There's landmass missing. Missing. I think that's what they're hiding with the whole denial of the flat earth. They're denying that there's a shitload of more land out there, and the rich and these governments are trying to get it for themselves and leave us here to try to kill each other. That shit ain't gonna happen. On my watch, it ain't gonna happen. I'm gonna find this fucking place, and if it happens to be an island just for us, okay, we gonna name it the Republic of fucking Flat Earth. That'll be our, we'll have our own defense force, every fucking thing. Be fruitful, people. Multiply this data, put it out there. I want to thank all of you, man. I'm done with this presentation. Again, feel free. I got Skype as well. You can Skype me at r.m.bassano on Skype. We can have a free-for-all and talk. I don't care who you are. But if you try to say some crazy shit to me and telling me, you know, and being a troll, I'm going to tell you here right now, it ain't going to last long. So be good to each other, people. Take care, and I thank you guys for viewing. Peace out, man. Again, it's not what you know. Is what you can prove. Have a great Sunday.
I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, living in Alberta, Canada, that I started paying attention to the moon. When I looked at it, I started looking at it like a clock. That was the easiest way for me to remember the position of the moon, and later stumbled onto something questionable when I seen the moon moves like a clock face. Normally I would see these legs at around 3 p.m., and I noticed it shifted randomly as I watched. One of the days after watching, I noticed the clock facing 7 or 8 p.m. approximately. I thought, that's strange. I couldn't be the only one paying attention, I thought. Another day, I seen it swing all the ways to 1 p.m. So I continued noticing it and asking, which no one I asked had ever seen or noticed it. I looked and I found nothing pertaining to this fact, though there might still be something I have not found. It has all sorts of information regarding it rotating on its axis. So as a dancer circling and facing their dancing partner always, we are also told the moon does look upside down in the southern hemisphere compared to the northern hemisphere. So being a beginner of the flat earth movement, my subconscious started working on the issue until I finally sat and thought about it. I feel like this might be something very important to the flat movement. I will show you that there is conflict in the pictures found around the world showing those countries on the southern hemisphere moon position is not always upside down. I have a video here from YouTube I'd like to show you. It's showing the phases of the moon, and I want to show you something. Notice that one of these things just doesn't belong there, just like the Sesame Street song. See if you can figure it out. If you haven't figured it out yet, if you look at the picture to the far right in the middle moon showing, it is flipped. All the other ones are showing approximately 2-3 o'clock time, but you'll see that one is showing 9 o'clock. We have the Guardian showing around the world this moon, full moon that we had to take place. But for some reason, when they get to the southern hemisphere, the last story, which is Australia, they don't show it. It's buried in clouds. So I'll show you the same time the rest of those were occurring, where the position of the moon was. As you can see, this is a picture in Saskatchewan, Canada, and the moon's position's in the same place as it moves like a clock as well, showing inconsistencies in what we see, for example, leading me to a hypothesis that perhaps when the moon crosses the hemisphere, it continues rotating like a clock so that we do see it, in a sense, upside down in the areas of Australia, which I will show you conflicts of pictures that show the position of the moon being equivalent to the northern hemisphere at times. Very confusing, I would say. Also, I'd like to mention that during my search looking for these pictures across the internet, I did come across quite a few, noticeably, pictures from different places around the world, Australia, even Antarctica, where the pictures were completely mirror imaged. You can always tell if the picture's mirror imaged because when you look at that man, that item I use as part of the clock, I call it legs. When it goes into the far left side of the moon, it's upside down. The legs are sticking up. If you see the legs facing down on the left side of the moon, they've mirror imaged it. I hope this helped the flat earth movement a bit on the northern and southern hemisphere. The fact that they state that the moon is upside down in Australia as opposed to where we are. When in actuality, I've shown and proved there are pictures out there showing that the moon's position is not flipped at times. And other times it is, depending on. In Canada, we have pictures showing equivalent to southern hemisphere, and I've shown you pictures from the southern hemisphere that is equivalent to the northern hemisphere. So I do hypothesize that the fact that the Earth is flat and there is a magnetic compass, and that perhaps when it reaches that point, that pivotal point, what we call northern and southern hemisphere, it rotates the moon so that it is upside down for most aspects in Australia because it's rotating like a clock.
And who knows, he may just look like me. It makes me wonder who'd be offended at me doing the same thing I always used to see. Don't you know that we don't know what you really look like?
so strong that even a bullet can't break it. Instead, the bullet itself shatters on impact. Even when placed under a hydraulic press, it doesn't crack. In fact, the press itself gets dented instead. This unique glass is created by dropping molten glass into cold water, rapidly cooling it into a tadpole-like shape. This is called Prince Rupert's Drop. Due to the extreme temperature change, the outer layer solidifies quickly while the inside remains under immense tension, making the bulb incredibly strong. While the rounded head can withstand hammer blows without a scratch, the thin tail is its weak spot. Just a slight snap at the tip causes the entire structure to explode instantly.
My guy. Now what we not finna do is play with God's word. Now if God said he laid the earth on its foundations and put a firmament over us, then that's exactly what he did. See, in the Bible, God told Isaiah the difference between a ball and a circle. God knew exactly what wordplay he was using in the Bible to describe the earth. In the Bible, God also speaks about the four corners of the earth. A ball does not have corners, but a flat surface do. Now, when I say four corners of the earth, this is what I mean. The same way that man made a compass, a circle compass, and put north, east, south, and west, I'm speaking of exactly that. God also says in the Bible that he set a compass upon the face of the earth. Now, remember when I said that God made the earth as a compass? Okay, so let's talk about it. Now, the compass only recognizes north. North always points towards the center. Hint, the North Pole. Any other direction is only based off the direction of north. How could a compass point south on a globe if they are saying that south is downwards? East and west are curved lines that constantly readjust to align with north. So y'all question is, how come when I'm flying in a plane, I end up in the same place I came from? Well, that only happens with east and west. So if you say that you circled the whole world and ended up in the same place, that's because you were going east and west. But let me tell you something, traveling south is a whole different ballgame. See, because south is any direction leaving the center. See, because if you begin to head south, you will reach the Antarctica ice wall. So traveling south, you will never end up back at the same place. See, because there's a reason they won't allow y'all to travel south and end up at the ice wall. Like, bruh, come on, even the compass don't want you traveling south. That's why it always points back to north, telling you to turn around every time you start to travel south. See, because if you decide to keep going and get past that ice wall, you will realize there is in fact a firmament over us, keeping anyone from leaving this earth. We couldn't be living in a globe if we wanted to. See, water has to be contained. They say that the earth is 71% water, so that by itself would be impossible. And I know y'all probably be wondering, where do rainbows come from? Now, scientists will tell you they self. To make a rainbow, you need water, light, and a mirror. See, when God said he created the firmament, he spreaded it out like a molten-looking glass. See, them big rainbows that you see is proof that we live underneath the firmament. It's the sunlight reflecting off of the firmament to remind us of his promise to never flood the earth again. See, God said he set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. But scientists are saying that we are spinning and moving 1,040 miles per hour. And in 1927, we had no idea what the earth looked like, but created this picture. Now all of a sudden, in 1997, they go see the earth and it looked exactly like that picture? No. Now, do y'all know who this man is? Probably not. But this is Richard E. Byrd. He was one of the first to discover Antarctica in 1928. See, he found evidence of the flat earth with the firmament over us. Even in his diaries and writings, he said it. See, he traveled all the way to the four corners of the earth. See, and when he found this discovery, what did our government do? They all went down to Antarctica 3 years later to claim a piece of it and to keep the truth hidden from us. That's why the Antarctica ice wall today is just like Area 51. Nobody could go there. Why is that? Are they hiding the truth? See, because that's what it seems like. Because that's what it is. See, and they just keep telling y'all all these lies and y'all just get brainwashed by it. They tell y'all they fly to the moon. See, because my question is, how you gonna fly to the moon when God said he made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night? Meaning that the moon and the sun ain't even solid objects. They're luminary. You can't just go up there and land on it. Like, come on, bro. Everybody know that that landing was fake. The flag up there waving. You could see a shadow on the moon. Y'all talking about the stars is outer space. But in the videos and in the pictures, there's no stars in space. See, because y'all going to have to do more than that to convince me. Because in Romans 3 and 4, God said, let y'all be the truth and every man a liar. But I know y'all going to ask me, Anaya, how do sunsets work if the earth is flat? See, in Job 9 and 7, God says, who commands the sun and it does not rise? See, on y'all's globe earth, y'all believe that the sun is setting and rising. But in reality, it's all just about perspective. For example, have y'all ever heard of a vanishing point? See, because in reality, the sun and the moon are not setting and rising. They are rotating. See, because the farther that is getting away from us to rotate around the earth, it's seeming as if it's going down. And the closer that is getting from making its way back around to us, it seems as if it's rising. It's all due to perspective from where we're at.
This appears due to perspective. And here's another example. The line is tied perfectly even across the counter, and the bottles are sitting level on the countertop. Now let's look at it from the counterpoint view.
Okay, so y'all like, yeah, nah, I mean, that sound good. But how do seasons work then? See, what I need y'all to know is that the sun and the moon are actually closer than what they are telling y'all. The sun and the moon are inside the firmament with us. See, electromagnetism actually perfectly explains how the sun and the moon rotates on Earth. See, the sun and the moon are not rock or gas. They're light sources. Now, these light sources are in the shape of a disk that rotate the Earth like a clock, but in a coil-like spiral, dictating the seasons and the climate as it goes. See, now, when the sun is beyond the equator ring, the northern hemisphere experiences summer, and the southern hemisphere experiences winter. Inversely, when below the equator ring, the southern hemisphere will experience summer, and the northern hemisphere will experience winter. They got y'all thinking that there's life beyond the earth. There is no space. There is no other planets out there. God says he sits at the top of the firmament. Those planets that y'all are seeing in those telescopes, those are called wandering stars. All of these are light sources. They are not solid objects. Alright, Anaya, so how does a solar eclipse work on a flat earth? And why can't we see stars during an eclipse of the sun and the moon? See, God says in eclipses, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious days of the Lord. As so, see, a solar eclipse happens when the sun and the moon decides to rotate over each other. As so. Okay, so why can't we see stars during a solar eclipse? See, God says immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. So why can't you see stars during a solar eclipse? His word tells you everything you need to know. There is nothing outside the firmament that they know of because they can't get past the firmament. God tells us he placed water above the firmament. All these people didn't have the same vision for no reason. There is many times that they have snitched on themselves, saying that they never been outside the earth, saying that there's nowhere to go, saying that they never been to the moon for real. They even be putting the truth into the cartoons. They are steady trying to break the firmament. They trying to nuke the firmament, sending rockets up there to break the firmament. They trying everything in their power. And as a matter of fact, my next video, I'm going to be showing y'all videos of them really saying they ain't never been to the moon. I'm going to be showing y'all videos of them trying to nuke the firmament, them trying to send rockets to the firmament, and even putting hidden truth into these cartoons and movies. These people know exactly what they are doing, and they know exactly what the firmament is. I'm telling y'all, that's exactly the reason why we can't go to the Antarctica ice wall. You can't fly over it. You can't do nothing. They don't want you seeing nothing, knowing nothing. Because they know once we find out that there is an end to this earth, that we gonna know the Bible is the true history of this world. And I want y'all to know that there is no other planets outside of this firmament. When God said he created the earth, I'm pretty sure he would have said, I created Saturn, Mars, Neptune, and Venus. He calls those wandering stars. And I want to tell y'all so bad what stars are, but y'all can just see it in the next video because I don't have time to actually explain it right now because I only have 10 minutes on TikTok. But when I tell y'all the truth about stars, it's going to blow y'all mind. See, because what I want y'all to know is back in the day in them old Bibles, before all the wordings was getting changed into their own interpretation, in 2 Samuel 11:11, it said that the earth was flat. But that was before they started changing everything, so people wouldn't know the truth. And that's why God said those who took away from his word and added to his word will be greatly punished. So the whole point to this video is, let Yah be the truth, and every man.
Native comedian Eddie Griffin now has his own street sign right here in his hometown. The Eddie Griffin Way was revealed near 23rd in Indiana and 23rd and 435.
Eddie Griffin has had a lot to say since the launch of his podcast, The Butt Naked Truth. His main argument would be that the government is trying to scare people from talking.
What's out in outer space?
And they never make it. The rock shit hits the firmament, and the firmament stops it. Ain't nobody been to the moon. Ain't nobody been outside this giant cage we're trapped in. The firmament is real. This is why rocket ships take off and they start shooting at an angle.
Think about the path that the rocket follows. Instead of moving in a straight line, the rocket following a curved trajectory. This isn't a mistake. You will see the exact same thing in every other video of a rocket launch.
They'll scrape the firmament, and they always land in the ocean.
Behind. Absolutely amazing. And to describe it to you, you can see it, but from the ground, it almost looks as though a cloud of smoke with its own mind is just shooting through the sky.
Then they shoot some grainy film that they were on the moon. It scraped the surface of the firmament, landed. That's all in one day. But the landing is like a week later. But that's when they show it. All the shit happened in one day.
The landing is the coming back.
There's no satellites out there either, nigga. There's no satellites. No, there's no satellites. They are hanging satellites. This is our GPS system, and that's the permanent GPS system. They call it space. But the space between Earth and God is called the firmament. And until he opens that up, it's going to be continued. Firmament. It's called the firmament. It's in the Bible. Nothing will get through the firmament. Flat Earth is real. Okay? The world is not round. If it was, I could disprove this many times, but anyway. There's an ice wall around our three-dimensional world called Earth. That lays on a two-dimensional plane.